Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
1 month into our vision, as we shared the vision a month ago today, we had Vision Sunday, and I just want to recap just real quick. Without vision, people perish. This church is visionary. It's visionary in all that we do. Proverbs 29:18. Without vision, people perish. I looked up the word perish. I think it's real important to understand what perish means. It means to be destroyed. Perish means to be destroyed. Without vision, let me just tell you, life destroys you. Without vision, life destroys you. A vision then, therefore, would do something. It would protect you from destruction. If you don't have vision and it destroys you, then having vision protects you from destruction. That's really profound, right? Yeah. Well, duh, Pastor, you're just so smart. Hear what I'm saying today. You better get some vision for every part of your life. You know, alcohol, a few drinks, it feels good. It clearly does, or no one would do it. I mean, let's just look at it. Obviously, alcohol is fun. No one would take alcohol and be involved with a bunch of drinking if it wasn't fun to do and it didn't clear your mind or not make you think about it. But clearly, every day, families' lives are ruined because of alcohol. So you see both sides of this coin here. So I just want you to know, yes, it would be fun to go out and drink. It'd be fun. But I can't. Because I'm going somewhere different than destruction. I have a vision, therefore I'm not going to be destroyed by what alcohol could do to me. See, drinking that would take me closer to something that I don't want to be near. And so I'm not headed there, even though initially it might be fun. Clearly, drugs feel great. Some of you are going, this was not the message I was planning on hearing. Well, they do. Drugs feel great. They take you to this place of euphoria. It's just awesome. But because I have a vision for where I'm going, drugs won't put me where I'm headed. So I'm not going to be destroyed by drugs because I have a vision that keeps me from destruction. And I clearly see where people's lives get destroyed is they lose vision for where they want to be and where they want to end up, so they just find themselves doing whatever comes in front of them. Cheating and stealing are quick ways to get some money or things. It is, it's quick. Fraud, it's a good way to get a lot of money quick. Just be fraudulent. But I'm doing something different because I have a vision where I'm headed. God has gifted each of you here. Some of you are an accountant, some of you are a welder, some of you work at a factory, some of you are in the driving industry, some of you are in the delivery industry, nurses, construction workers, mechanics. I just look around, lots of different giftings in this body. You obviously had a vision to get where you are right now, or you wouldn't be there. With the vision of life, you didn't just end up being an accountant, you had to do things to get to be an accountant. People depend on you, and so you said, I can't do that because I have a vision. See, being lazy is gone when you have a vision. When you have a vision, I don't have time to be lazy. A vision protects you from getting lured into sin. And I just want you to know, a lot of answers could be solved for Christian people if they just get a vision. They would. If all of a sudden Sundays did not become an option, you'd get a vision for the church and it'd be sincere. So there's got to be a point where we live on a vision in every area in our lives. Parents, from day one, don't let your teenager get to the teenage years without you helping them get a vision in their heart. Don't let them get to the teenage years without getting a vision instilled. See, if you get there, a vision will allow them to take serious the importance of studying for that test. A vision will keep them on the road of getting them somewhere. I have a relationship with my kids and my grandkid that I would not have if I didn't have a vision, because I'd still be drinking. So I'd be doing a different thing. And I'm just telling you, Josh and Ashlyn wouldn't have near as much to do with me. There's a vision for my life that produces what I'm walking in. It's not just by accident. Boy, you just got lucky. There wasn't no luck about it. We worked really hard instilling and living a vision. See, vision keeps you from migrating to what feels good or what everyone else is doing. A vision protects you. Individuals have to have this. But let's get off the individuals and let's just talk about church. Church has to have this. A church has to have a vision. See, without a vision, here's church on Sunday morning. And many of you have been in a church like this, and I'm not here to put them down, but there are visionless churches. I've talked to too many. Here's church on a Sunday morning without a vision. Anybody got a song? Anybody like stand up and pray? Did nobody think about that before you got to service? I've been in those awkward situations where nobody's going to stand up and pray, and then we got to call on somebody. And I've even heard people called on, and then they said, no, call on somebody else. Well, that's awkward. But without a vision, you get into awkwardness. You get into something. Well, how did that happen? Somebody got a word today? And then you, whatever happens, happens. It's pretty good. We go home. We feel good about the fact that we were just there. And at the end of the year, you feel the same way as you did last year at the same time. And you just keep doing that over and over again. And before long, church becomes not important. And I understand that. See, because you're either just, the church is just staying or the church is dying. And I look at them the same thing. If they're staying, it becomes stagnant and eventually will die. Staying and dying become the same thing over time. Children's church. When children's church, all you're doing is babysitting, that's a children's church that don't have a vision. Our children's church is beyond just coming and sitting and babysitting. I mean, that's when you have a vision, it's a place you're taking your children and they're coming out, mom, dad, here's what happened today. Here's what happened. Wow, it was so good. We had Rachel saying this. We had the Lockwoods, but Miss Michelle was saying this, and all of a sudden on and on and on. And look what I got because I had my Bible verses. There's a blessing to know in the Bible. So you instilling this into your kids and all of a sudden there's not an option for the kid whether or not they're going to be in children's church. Do you not want that when they become 18? Hopefully not children's church anymore. Hopefully they want to be in adult church unless they're helping. Youth groups, with the vision and without. Many churches, the youth and the kids would just do as well to stay at home. I mean, really, because mom and dad are putting more Bible into them than what they are getting when they go. But not here. Your kids would do very well to get hooked up with our youth and with our children's ministry. See, our focus in 2016 was to make sure that every member of this church has made Jesus Lord of their life under a different lordship. Now, 2017, our vision, Job 17:9. Josh has been quoting it wrong. He goes, no, I haven't. The righteous do what?
Holds to his way.
My Bible says keep moving forward. We have different translations. No, he's not wrong. We're just reading from different translations. It says the same thing. The righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands get what? Stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger. Church, let me just tell you, clean hands are a symbol of the blood washing us, washing our sins, cleansing us, putting us in right standing. So those that are righteous and with clean hands go hand in hand, and those are the people that are allowed to get stronger and stronger. And I want to encourage us because I didn't have time the first Sunday of the year. The next Sunday, Alvin was here. The next Sunday, God had already planted on my heart was to be spoke. And then last Sunday, Melanie delivered. Woo, what a message last Sunday, Melanie. And then this Sunday, I am thrilled to continue on with implanting the second part of what I've been wanting to preach for a month. We're in for a great year. We've already begun. Our prayer life, church, is going to get stronger and stronger this year. Our reading the Word is going to get stronger and stronger. Let me just take a little excerpt here for a second. Because I think this is real important for you to hear. I love that my cousin, Brian, who his dad, Daryl, is here today, Grandpa's son. And I love that he came and he said, could I have one of Grandpa's Bibles? And he said one of because he knew that Grandpa had way more than one. And he said, could I have one of Grandpa's Bible? Well, he was given the Bible that Grandpa read every day. It was a chronological Bible. And the cool thing about it, he said, oh, that's not that big a deal. Here's the big deal. He died on February 1st. The morning of February 1st, he passed into glory. And so he was given the Bible. You know where the marker was? It was on February 1st, because that was going to be his next reading. Every day that man took reading the Bible serious, and for 50 years read the Bible through every day. I'm just blown away with you get a Bible from a saint of God who we're going to admire, look to as a real example, and you get his Bible, and the day that he passed away, he hadn't missed a day. The day he passed, he was ready. He died at 1:10 in the morning. At 6 o'clock that morning, he would have been, had he lived a day longer, he'd have been up and that marker would have been put on February 2nd. He didn't miss a day reading the Word. It was important to him. See, our ability to be in the Word has to get stronger and stronger. And I'm using that example because are you going to, in the next 50 years, have read the Bible through every year? A great challenge to you today. Our ability to apply the Word daily to our life is going to get stronger and stronger. Our relationship with the Lord and with others will get stronger and stronger. With our teenagers in our home, stronger and stronger. Wow, some huge breakthroughs this year. Huge, to quote our president. This all happens as a result of something. And that result is strengthening, strengthening, strengthening. Are you going to be stronger at the end of this year than what you're starting it out? I believe that you are. Why? Because you've hooked up with Christian Ministries. You're going to share this vision, and we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. Things will happen this year, and I'm just telling you prophetically, if you'll get a hold of the Word is the best indicator of what prophecy is. And in the end of this year, if you'll get a hold of it, you don't have a choice but to go somewhere. You don't have a choice but to strengthen you. Things you've only wished for in your life. The church has been able for years to get people to slip up a hand and say a prayer and accept Jesus. I've watched it for years. The church has done really good at that, but we have not done a real good job in spiritual growth and spiritual development. We've not done a good job in strengthening Christians. And that's what we're doing this year. See, consequently, because we haven't, we have a country full of weak Christians. Are y'all with me today? For many, come on, let's just talk. For many, just living day to day has whipped the life out of you. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I'm looking across the audience and I see it in your face. It's whipped the life out of you. Just day in, day out. Man, I'm just tired of getting, my life is just, Pastor, obviously someone told you to preach about me this morning. And that's not the case. Day to day, you've been whooped, however you say it, from the south you're whooped, from north you're whipped. Going through some tough times. And life continues to beat us up and beat us up. And before long, we're walking around like we have lead in our shoes. I know because I've seen it time and time again. No drive, no peace, no excitement for the things of God. You're just going through the emotions. This year, we're going to build some strength into our lives. I would tell you that today, in the next 10 minutes, you're going to get the word that you'll need to conquer all of that. But in 10 minutes, I can't strengthen you like I can in 1 year. See, what you got to get today is I'm going to hook up and I'm going to commit to a year of strengthening. strengthening in the word, strengthening in my prayer life, strengthening in my commitments. See, I'm going to stay in and I'm going to train in Christianity. And by the end of this year, I got something going on different in my life. See, that's where we've got to get. That's what we got to do. 2017, stronger and stronger is not just about a t-shirt. I like them. They're cool. They're the best ones we've had. I've heard it and heard it. What's it going to do in a year's time, this message? You can put it on the outside of you and it do nothing. You better get it on the inside. The problem is that Christians are living in worry, living in fear, living in insecurities. You've been adopted. You're joint heirs with Jesus. How is it possible for Christians to live in fear and insecurity? How is that? There's only one answer. It's because you're spiritually weak. That's it. Job 17:9, the righteous become stronger and stronger. Here's what you got to know. To get right with God, you got to get saved. You got to accept what Jesus did. And obviously, we've got a lot of people here that's done that. We got people saved all over. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And obviously, I'm going to have to finish this next week. Good. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he's given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Let's just talk about this for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. By his divine power, by God's power, he's given us everything we need for living a godly life. What else does God have to give us? I can read that and say, it's all been given. God has already given everything you need by his divine power. He's given. That's past tense. He has given in past tense. It's already been done. He's already given everything we need. How do we get it? Verse 3, we've received all of this. How? By coming to know him. So when you know Jesus, you've been given everything you need. Would everybody agree with that? I'm just reading scripture. How you can't read that any different. Verse 4, what's been given? Because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. What kind of promises? Well, I'm glad you asked. So you keep reading. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Okay, if you're going to escape the world's destruction, then what do you got to have? Is anybody paying attention? You got to have vision. To escape destruction, you got to have vision. To keep from perishing, you got to have vision. We've talked about that. So this will allow me to share in his nature and to escape corruption is having a vision for Jesus, right? Everybody go, yeah. Good. Here's the problem. The church has done really good at preaching verses 3 and 4. Here's where we've messed up. We haven't been reading verse 5. All of this has been given. We communicated that. We've done really good at that. I've preached on it 100 times. And I want you to know that I've preached on verse 4 and I've preached on verse 4 and I've preached on verse 4. For years I've preached on verse 4. Next Sunday we're going to preach on verse 4. The next Sunday we're going to preach on verse 4. The next Sunday we're on verse 4. And we've done really good about telling everybody that these promises will enable you and to escape the world's corruption that's caused by human desires and having a vision. All of this is supernatural. And you get it. But we don't teach verse 5. Let's read verse 5. What's it say? The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be. I'm sorry, but that's verse 8. Well, I was going to get to that. Verse 5. In view of all of this, what's the next three words? If you're in NLT, it says, make every effort. Here's where we've messed it up. Everything's been given. Praise God, we're believing by faith. But then the Bible says, here's your part. Make every effort possible. We never get to our part in this. We accept what Jesus did on the cross. We make him Lord, but we don't put forth any effort. Church, we got to get stronger and stronger. We got to overcome weakness. And it takes overcoming with an effort on our part to get stronger. We talk all day long about his grace, but we preach very little on us making every effort. Members of this church in 2017 is going to be a game changer because we're going to get this. We're going to watch verse 5. We're going to see it. We're receiving God's grace. I'm thankful for it, but I'm not responding to his promises because I'm just receiving his grace. You're not receiving the promises because all you did is just receive the grace. The promises come by you making every effort. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you've been saved. How many are thankful for that? I'm thankful for grace that he gave me to be saved. By grace you are saved through what? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2:8 is real clear that you didn't have anything to do with it, but that doesn't mean something wasn't done. You didn't have anything to do with getting your salvation. You accepted it, but Jesus did it all. And we're good about preaching that. Come on, we are. Every head bowed, every eye closed, lift up your hand if you want to accept the grace that God gave you and you want to be saved. Well, I slipped up a hand. But did you make every effort to get a hold of all the promises of God? See, we got a church that's weak because we don't get a hold of making every effort, strengthening ourselves up. Now, it goes on to say, and this is my teaser for next week, verse 5, this is where many are missing it, moral excellence, self-control, godliness, knowledge, patience, endurance, brotherly affection, love, all of these things it says you have to add to. Well, what do you add it to? Your faith. Your faith. What did it take to get you saved? God's grace and your faith. Wow! This isn't amazing to anybody else but me. It was by faith that you got the grace of God. Everybody had the faith to get saved, but they never got equipped to walk in the promises. So you got to add to your faith all these other things. And as you start adding these other things, I was reading through them and I thought, whoo, I got some work to do. Because I know that everybody looks at my life and goes, man, that's the most patient man I've ever met in my life. Anybody who knows me says, I'm not patient. I'm the one at the door. Come on, is everybody ready? I'm the one in line that's looking for the shortest line. And I always get behind the lady who's going to take 5 hours getting her billfold out just to pay. And she's going to count out 17 cents. Hold on, I think I've got enough pennies. Some of us need to add some patience to our work, our effort. Of course, not me. I don't know what it is you got to add to, but be here next Sunday and let's talk a little more about this. Because here's the thing. We got a bunch of people that are saved in this congregation. But every one of us need to get stronger and stronger. And we're going to talk next week how we can do that as we add to our faith. And we're going to start next week on some real strength training for the church. And we're going to be somewhere different. How many say, I'm that guy. I'm going to be different next year. I'm going to be different by the end of this year than what I am right now. Because I'm sharing the vision of Christian Ministries and I'm going to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Y'all stand with me this morning.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.